2. Hayden. Sheriff Hayden Duke sat astride his horse Zorro at one end of a narrow street in the northern part of what was left of Tijuana, Mexico. Squinting against the sinking sun despite the protection of his wide-brimmed hat, he looked into the distance to where his deputies approached the rear door of an old warehouse. "We're in position, Sheriff," Deputy Nick Salino said, his voice clear and crisp through the small silver badge resting on the collar of Hayden's uniform. "Pause," Hayden replied. "Breach on my mark." Deputy Cortez moved to the door. He was one of Hayden's new recruits, an older man who had eagerly joined up when Hayden and a force of his United Western Territories deputies rode into Tijuana 3 days ago. The great-grandson of a United States Space Force Marine, he'd had his right arm severed at the shoulder to replace it with a mechanical augment, intentionally turning himself into what was essentially a cyborg. Mongrel. That's what they called people like that these days. Some would say intentional dismemberment was insane, and Hayden couldn't quite disagree. But there was something to be said for the powerful prosthetics the United States military had developed in the wake of the Trife invasion. Hayden flexed the fingers of his hands. He would know. Neither of his arms were organic, both lost at different places and times and under different circumstances. He hadn't intentionally done the deed, but the outcome was the same. He didn't regret it. His options had been to save his limbs or save his wife. One was replaceable. The other wasn't. "Now," Hayden said. Deputy Cortez threw the palm of his augment into the door, the force of his effort blowing it open and ripping it from its hinges. The door vanished into the darkness of the warehouse as Cortez moved out of the way, allowing a pair of deputies to move in from each side, leading with their rifles. Hayden lifted his pair of sunglasses hanging from a cord around his neck and put them on. He tapped the side of the frame, and the shaded glass immediately filled in with augmented input, giving him access to the same combat network his armored deputies shared. He used his eye muscles to work the interface, shifting his left eye to a view through Deputy Salino's camera feed. His lead deputy was slowly moving into the warehouse with Deputy Kevitz beside him. Both the camera and Salino's helmet filtered out the dim light, creating a clear grayscale view for both watcher and wearer. Visibility was limited by the volume of product inside the warehouse. The place was a mess, filled with pallets of building materials, drywall, rebar, piping, tile. Most of it remained stacked, stored, and forgotten for the last 200 years, still in the same place where it had been abandoned. A few of the pallets had rotted beneath a leak in the roof, collapsing and spilling their contents across the floor. Scavengers had done good work picking items of value out of the surrounding industrial park, and there was little value in the materials here, at least to the common survivor. Salino moved deeper into the building, the deputies getting into formation behind him. They paired up against adjacent stacks of boxes.
"Salino, anything?"
Hayden asked. He could see through the deputy's feed, but he didn't have the man's other senses to rely on.
"It's creepy as hell in here, Sheriff," Salino replied quietly. "There's a smell in the air, musty and thick. It's making my spine tingle."
"No sign of the target?"
"Negative."
"Head south. I want to see down the aisles."
"Pause."
Salino kept walking, reaching the corner of the boxes and swinging around them, leading with his rifle. Most of the rows were identical, only the material on the pallets changed. Stacks of bagged cement mix stretched into the distance. The deputy went past them to the next row, freezing as he came out into the open. The evidence of a small encampment was visible ahead. An old nylon tent rested against the wall. A number of sleeping bags splayed out in front with a small mountain of refuse beside it. Garbage, mostly old food wrappers, was spread around the site, and a rusted old motorcycle still leaned on its kickstand. And bodies. Hayden counted 6 right away. They were a few steps away from the tent, the cause of death hard to see from the angle and distance, but Hayden didn't have to guess how they had died. The killers were still there. A warning flashed across Hayden's glasses. A sudden outline appeared in the distance, painted in front of the solid brick wall of the warehouse, even though the target was on the inside. Judging by the position, it was crouched on one of the stacks of materials ready to pounce.
Kevitz, Hayden snapped.
On it, she replied.
She had already seen the target in her visor and was pivoting to defend herself. The enemy leaped down at her, the sound of gunfire reaching Hayden in his place outside the building. The threat vanished from his display.
Target eliminated, Kevitz said, her voice calm.
Hayden switched to her feet. She was looking down at the dead alien. Slender and lithe, it was a meter and a half long and humanoid in shape, with leathery, ink-black skin. It had three long fingers ending in sharp claws and an opposable thumb. While its feet were similar, large and clawed, the big toe was closer to the side of the foot to allow for better gripping. Its head was small, its elongated face possessing beady dark eyes and a mouth filled with sharp teeth. The creature was naked and genderless, its pelvis and chest both flat. A single xenotrife didn't look all that dangerous, and wasn't. Their hollow bones were brittle and weak, and their claws weren't sharp enough to penetrate the Space Marine combat armor the deputies wore. But then they had learned the armor was vulnerable at the joints, especially where the helmet met the body. A claw in any of those places could rip through the spider steel mesh bodysuit beneath the armor and into the flesh of the wearer. And because of that, a trife slick was incredibly dangerous.
Eyes up, Hayden said. Where are the rest of the bastards?
Kevitz began looking around, focusing on the top of the stacks. The other deputies did the same.
We're clean, Sheriff, Deputy Salino said after a quick search. No sign of any more.
There are always more, Hayden replied.
Trife didn't travel alone. Not ever. Where the hell were the rest of them hiding?
We did a sweep, Sheriff. We'd see them on the grid if they were in here.
Color me unconvinced. Stay sharp. I don't trust.
The AR on Hayden's sunglasses lit up again, showing a pair of trife emerging from around the side of a stack of something that had managed to block the networked armor sensors. Deputies Kevitz and Nan were on it in a flash, moving into position and catching the two trife in a crossfire.
Told you so, Hayden said. Scouting party, Salino said. There are probably a few more. Salino, check out the bodies. I'm on your feet.
You sure you don't want to come in here with us, Sheriff?
Negative. You can't rely on me always being there to back you up. You're doing a fine job, Nick.
Roger that.
Hayden switched his view back to Salino's camera feed. The deputy approached the small campsite, the bodies coming into view. Salino looked down at the closest corpse. A young man, probably still a teen.
Sheriff, are you seeing this?
Hayden's heart started to pound.
Fall back,
he said, fighting to keep his voice calm.
Now, quick and quiet. I'm on my way.
Roger,
Salino replied as Hayden urged Zorro forward at a gallop.
Quick and quiet.
The gunfire coming from inside the warehouse was anything but, and the kid had been nearly torn in half. A normal trife couldn't cause damage like that, but a queen could do that and worse. What was she doing down there? He could see his deputies in the augmented reality overlay of his glasses. Their green outlines grew larger as they moved closer to him, both from his forward motion and their retreat. A red outline suddenly appeared from the northwest side of the warehouse, followed by another and another. Nearly a dozen trife appeared in the area within seconds.
Salino, you've got company, Hayden said, charging the building.
Roger, Salino replied. Targets acquired.
The sound of gunfire split the air, muffled inside the warehouse. Hayden approached the building, but things were going from bad to worse in a hurry. The first dozen trife weren't the end of it. More of the demons were pouring out of the area, multiplying and spreading. They had to be climbing up from a hole in the floor. If a queen was down there, it meant there was a nest in that hole, and if there was a nest in the hole, it meant there was a power source down there too. And the target they had come here to find, a murderer called Halsey, was already dead. At least there was a silver lining. The gunfire intensified as the trife charged the fleeing deputies, the entire scene playing out in color-coded outlines in front of Hayden's eyes. He could see how the red outlines approached the green ones and vanished. The constant report of gunfire got louder as he closed the distance. The trife were still coming, his system counting nearly 100 already in the warehouse and more on the way.
"Sheriff, help!" Nan cried out.
Hayden switched to her feet in time to see trife jaws descending on the vulnerable neck joint. Nan screamed, and then the trife was thrown back by a sudden shower of bullets. By the time he pulled her vitals up on his HUD, they were flat.
"Son of a bitch,"